The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a servant above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the servant like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your God. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my God in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my God in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I have to wear a winter coat in the summer sometimes. I keep buying various versions of coats and boots because you can never have enough of them. I have enough mosquito bites that I look like I'm suffering from chicken pox. I take vitamin D daily year round. And if the sunshine comes out, I drop what I'm doing and go running. Who am I? An Alaskan, right? Now, in September, I will have been an Alaskan for 6 years, and many of you have much more time on that than I do. Whether you were born and raised here, or you got here yesterday, or somewhere in between, being an Alaskan takes a special breed of human being. Not only do we have extensive collections of gear, ranging from cold rainy days to colder rainy days, or the winter coat that you can wear out to run around town, or the winter coat that you wear when you're doing skiing or activities, or the winter coat if you're at a fire outside, all of the different winter coats, right? And don't even get me started on footwear. But we have this way of being that people who are not Alaskans ask, what is it like to have sun 24 hours a day? Do you really have no sunlight in the winter? Do you get paid to live there? How often do you see moose or bears or eagles? Or thousands of other questions that, depending on the day, we can answer with kindness or we can answer with sort of clenched teeth like, I'm answering the same question again and again every time I meet somebody new. Now, having not grown up here, I can say that this great fascination with our state and this place that we call home is, I get it, right? Like, I'm still excited every time I see a moose or something cross the road. Alaska Native people have been here since the beginning of time, living and breathing with the land, the waters, the mountains, and the creatures. Those of us who've moved here, following colonization and commodifying the land as property, now know the majesty and beauty of the place, followed by the absolute difficulty of living here. Because it is difficult. It's hard to grow things here. Whose garden is struggling right now? Right? This year is rough on our growing season. We've had, what, 4 days of sunshine since the sun melted? And even this morning, I thought the sun is out, but it's windy. I should go running, right? it's hard to build here. It's hard to shop here. It's hard to create here. It's hard to live here sometimes. And don't get me wrong, we're all here because there's enough beauty and joy that seems to tip over to 51% at least for all of the not so good stuff in the winter and all the other hard stuff of being here. I drove my car to Anchorage the other day and I saw eagles, a moose, and a black bear all from the comfort of my vehicle while driving down the highway. I saw swarms, and I think that's an understatement, of people at the Russian River catching salmon, where they take them home, process them, and grill them that night for dinner. There are things that make it worth it to be an Alaskan, to handle the darkness and the cold, the snow load on the roof, and all of the questions that we get asked when we go visit our friends and family outside. Now, to handle the risk, the expense, quite literally the distance, the separation, the confusing way of being to the rest of the United States, we have these sort of things that help us, that we benefit from. We're like the sunshine. I say summers in Alaska are intoxicating. Maybe not this summer so far, but you know, whenever it's the beautiful sunshine and the water and the kind of turquoise river, whatever it is, it makes it worth it. Now, we heard a bit of the risk today following Jesus last week in the gospel reading, but we get even more of what he's saying as he shares with his disciples, with his followers. In fact, it hits with an even stronger punch of what the risk is to follow Christ. Because Jesus says, "For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household." The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God, but that is not how I feel whenever I read it, right? When you're like, literally, you're holding on to Becca, and the scriptures are telling you, like, "I will set mother against daughter," right? That's not exactly the good news, right? Mandy, that's like the worst thing possible to happen to you, right? If suddenly Becca's like, "I'm out, Mom," like, your heart will shatter on the floor. And then we have those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Now, y'all know that I love some Jesus that's all love one another as I have loved you, and blessed are the poor, meek, and hungry. But this Jesus that we hear from today in the Gospel of Matthew is like preparing his followers for battle. This teaching is often referred to as the cost of discipleship, as if we actually pay to follow Jesus. And to be frank, we do. Not in the exchange of cash and goods or the extreme shipping rates of living in Alaska, but part of choosing to follow Christ means that life will look different than if we do not follow Christ. Or at least it should look different as people who follow Christ. Do I think that Jesus is saying that to follow him, you have to abandon your parents and in-laws? No. Not unless you have your own reasons, and that's a different conversation. In-laws are hard, and so are parents sometimes. But what Jesus is saying is that if you're going to align yourself with Christ, if you're going to say that you're a follower of Christ, a Christian, with his message of love, with his death and resurrection, with this radical way of existing in the world, that you will, in fact, have to take some risks because it should and it will look different than if you're not a follower of Christ. Just as being an Alaskan is a way of being, one that is unique and confusing and terrifying at times and absolutely joyful at other times, so is being a follower of Christ. What does it mean to follow Christ for you? What do you dress yourself in? What do you put on or zip up and cinch tight? What do you surround yourself with? Perhaps it's that love that Jesus taught over and over and over again, on a mountain, in a boat, in a field, in a temple, in a house, with a mouse, on a box, with a fox. He taught love everywhere, right? Perhaps it's the curiosity of the other, that in spite of what society is saying, despite what those in power are saying, that there is room at the table for the other. And just as an Alaskan, it's not that we have a special dibs on things, right? Like, anyone can have a good raincoat collection. In fact, probably your kids in Seattle have an even better raincoat collection than we do. And anyone can wear extra tufts. I hear they're really popular in Florida. Fishing, right? It makes sense. And anyone can complain about mosquito bites or the snow or the cold or the amount of tourists. I have a friend who grew up in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and she dreaded summer season in Gettysburg because she said she couldn't get through the traffic circle without somebody getting on her nerves. Does that sound familiar? It's not a uniquely Alaskan problem. But as we consider what it means to live our lives in search of God through Jesus Christ's teachings, led by the Holy Spirit, we are tasked with the cost of discipleship, the expense of figuring out how to live in a way that reflects back who Christ was and is. Now, just as our garages are filled with gear for the situations of living on this land, so we as people of faith are seeking out the gear to live among our friends and family, our parents and children, our in-laws and neighbors, and our coworkers and enemies. And just like it takes finding the right gear, sometimes upgrading when there's a good sale, or just giving up on something that's lost its waterproof texture, right? It takes trying things on, reading on what it means to be waterproof versus water resistant, because there is a big difference. It takes having conversations with people to learn about their experiences, their stories, their journeys. And remember, when it feels overwhelming to follow Christ, which it does a lot of times for me, even the hairs of your head, or follicles, if perhaps you're living in the memory of your hair, they've been counted. Something so tiny as the hair on your head has been counted and tracked and paid attention to by our God. Right? The thing that just can get left on your sink after brushing your teeth, that God knows. So it's not on you to have it all figured out how to rescue the world or have the best gear or the most Christian-y lifestyle. On the contrary, it's about trusting that God will handle God's stuff, right? God will have it figured out. God will handle God's part of things. And when given the choice in our human lives, we simply get to be a back of what we have learned about what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.